This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 332, 5.2 Wanted, Dead or Alive. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABook. That's bit.ly/ATABook. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today's podcast is also brought to you by Doghouse Systems. Visit them at doghousesystems.com to find great computers made by gamers for gamers. Use the code BACON at checkout to get double the memory, and use the code Kerrigan as well to get entered into a sweet StarCraft II replica ghost sniper rifle giveaway.
For the Alliance!
For the Horde!
For the news!
For the opinions.
For the lore.
For the achievements.
For the raiders.
For the discovery.
For the pets.
For the community.
And most of all, for you.
This is All Things Azeroth.
Your World of Warcraft podcast.
And now your hosts, Medros and Roe.
And welcome to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. Medros is AFK, I am Roe, and I am not alone since Medros is AFK. I do have with me tonight Syl from the Girls Gone Wild podcast and Obscurecast. How are you doing, Syl?
Hello, I'm tired.
I would imagine so. It's a little late over there. Since we record at 9 p.m. Eastern time over here, it's like, what, 2, 3 in the morning over there right now?
It's 2 in the morning.
Oh my goodness. You're a trooper. Thanks very much for being on.
It's okay. I have my energy drinks.
What kind of energy drinks do you use?
It's called Monster, which will probably turn me into a monster at the end of the show.
Monster's quite a favorite where I live too, so you're in good company. As far as where Medros is, well, here's the thing. So we're recording this on February 11th, but, you know, real life schedules and such like that, and it can be hard to find those moments to, you know, do the real life things that come with certain holidays. Valentine's Day is coming around, and, well, Medros is celebrating Valentine's Day a little bit early with his wife, and I hope he and Jackie are having a wonderful candlelight dinner. Who knows where they are? And meanwhile, the show will go on. So, Syl, for those who haven't listened to either of your shows, or let's just get to know a little bit more about you, if you could tell people, you know, what kind of characters you play in WoW, and just a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, sure. I am Syl. I am a Dutch girl. Well, can I still call myself girl? Yeah, I can.
I still call myself a boy mentally.
Yeah, same goes for me. I'm still a girl. I've been playing WoW for about 8 years. I think the first day it launched in Europe, that's when I started playing. Mm-hmm. And I started Alliance. I've been playing both on both sides, Horde and Alliance, but I guess deep down I am a Alliance player, and I've always played a druid, a night elf druid. But lately I'm a Draenei shaman. That's really what I'm enjoying. And now, I podcast.
Now, just really quick about the whole druid shaman thing. Have you just found that druids aren't as fun to play lately, or just shaman are more fun to play?
It's so difficult. I love my druid because she's always been my main for so long. Mm-hmm. But I don't really enjoy the class as much as I used to do. I think I used to be a boomy, and right. I love that in vanilla, even though everyone just went like, balance is horrible, you shouldn't play balance. I loved it. And I loved it in TBC, and then slowly on, it became really weird. And with Mists of Pandaria, I just don't know what's going on with Boomkin, but I'm not enjoying it anymore.
You don't like the whole kind of pendulum shift between the eclipse and the solar and the lunar thing, I take it, ever since they changed that?
Yeah, I don't like that at all. It's gotcha. Not my thing. It feels weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Resto wasn't really working out for me in my previous raid group because the priest that we had was really well geared. So I felt like I wasn't really helping at all. And I thought, okay, I need something else. And I love Draenei, so it became my shaman.
Well, you mentioned you podcast. You do a couple of shows out there. I think people know you most for Girls Gone WoW. Could you talk a little bit about that show?
Yes, Girls Gone WoW is 2 years old now. And it's a female-centric, orientated WoW podcast, even though we do have our own Rob, who is very much not a girl. I can confirm that.
He is a G-I-R-L, you've said.
Yes, a guy in real life. Even though Rob does play only female characters. And I have two other lovely, very female co-hosts, EJ and Raven, and we basically talk about everything. I would almost say any kind of topic, and then we just make it a bit more like, well, what does the community think about that subject? And we'll start talking about that.
Yeah, I was listening to a bit of the show that just came out a day ago, and you guys had a lot of discussion about role-playing, I thought was very interesting.
Yes, I really enjoyed that, but role-playing was something I was incredibly into when Vanilla was the main game, basically, and then I even still participated in a lot of RP events in Burning Crusade, and it slowly dwindled down because raiding took over. But now I'm actually starting to look back to get back into it, because I really do miss it.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of potential for roleplay with Mists of Pandaria, just with a lot of the wide open locales and spaces, different opportunities as far as scenic areas go, just characters from Kalimdor and the Eastern Kingdoms exploring this place that they have no idea what it's all about. And I think when it comes to role-playing also, one of the main problems when it comes to role-playing, and I don't do a whole lot of role-playing these days, but one of the biggest problems is trying to feel connected into the world around you. And when it comes to Mists of Pandaria, I think rolling up a pandaren is a great way to test the waters with role-playing, because when you start up a pandaren, once you get out of the Pandaren starting zone, you're thrust into either the Eastern Kingdoms or Kalimdor. These are areas that the Pandaren know next to nothing about. So you don't have to worry a whole lot about backstory and how it ties into this part of Warcraft lore and that part of Warcraft lore. It gives you a lot of room to work with.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely does.
All right, and you also do a general gaming podcast, which is part of the Dawnforge network called Obscurecast. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, it's a general gaming podcast, and I think we're in our second season now, or at least we're trying to, but we're having some difficulties with... I'm blaming Razorbug with not being able to record.
That's always a safe bet. When all else fails, blame Razorbug.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing to do. But it's a general gaming podcast, and me, Razorbug, and Damurai talk about the games we've been playing and what we look forward to, and just anything that basically comes up in the news that catches our eyes when it concerns games.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about is just, in general, what are your feelings about Mists of Pandaria right now? Now that the game's been out for several months, we have 5.2 on the horizon, which we'll get to in just a sec. How excited about the game are you right now? How engaged are you?
This is very difficult because a part of me is very happy about it. Mm-hmm. And another part is just slightly disappointed because I know that a lot of people go poo-hoo about, you know, vanilla experiences and stuff like that. But for me, with every expansion, I'm like, I really want to get that feeling back from when I first went into Darnassus and just went like, oh my god, this is amazing.
Right.
And every time I hope for that, but I don't get it. But it doesn't mean that I don't I'm not happy with the game at the moment because I think it looks really amazing. I quite like where it is because I think for me personally, TBC was one of the best ones out there, the best expansion. And I feel that Mists of Pandaria is very close to that level of expectation that I had and has achieved that. However, because it's a game that's already been 8 years, you know, running, I do feel that at times there are other things lurking on the horizon that look very pretty. But all in all, I think WoW will always be a part of what I'm doing and what I'm playing.
Once a WoW player, always a WoW player. Just like many people who've played EverQuest and EverQuest 2, they somehow end up going back to check it out at, even after a year or two.
Indeed.
All right, well, let's get going on with the show. And this is usually the part where we talk about how our weeks have been. And ladies first, how is your week, Syl?
My week has been consisting out of leveling my shaman because I've decided that my guild that EJ is one of the officers of, they need some DPS. And since I love the elemental aspect of the shaman, I said, okay, I'm going to level. So that's all I've been doing. And then I saw that Lovers in the Air is currently running now. And I thought, do I want that ugly flamingo pet or mount? And I guess I do. So.
Well, at the very least, even if you don't want it, you can sell it on the auction house. How are you farming up the tokens? What are you doing to farm those up? Where are you gathering your tokens from?
At the moment, I'm just leveling in Pandaria, and I already, just by questing for 2 hours, I got, I think, 80?
Mm-hmm.
So I can make those bracelets and give them to all my friends in Azeroth.
I'm going to tell you about a little secret, and by the time people hear this, if they haven't heard about it by now, it may not be that good a tip if everyone's doing it by the time they hear this. But there are some areas in the game where there's some questing zones where the respawn rate for certain things is just going to be absolutely silly. People have complained about that cave for the Operation Shield Wall and Dominance Offensive dailies, where things just respawn all the freaking time. That is an excellent place to farm stuff to get love tokens, as long as you can stay alive in there. Bring a buddy along, have two of you just kill things left and right. Another place is the caves with the vermin in it for the daily for the tillers. When in those caves there, those little baby vermin spawn all the time. You can just keep on, if you have the cave to yourself, you're going to get literally hundreds within an hour if people are farming the other caves at the same time. Just some things to keep in mind. It doesn't really take that long to farm up enough love tokens to put away toward that lovebird if you know where to go farming for them. And there's been a couple other places in past expansions that were good too, but you have to kill things that would yield experience or honor, even at level cap, for love tokens to drop.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd definitely say get a bird, get one for yourself, get one for the auction house, but don't put it up on the auction house right away. Like wait a few months till people want it again.
Oh yeah, because I think I've already seen like 6 on there.
Oh yeah, and a few days from now, they'll probably be going for like 500 gold, but you give it like 6 months and they'll be back up to like 4,000 or 5,000 gold.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap at the moment. So I think you can make a nice profit in a few months.
Absolutely. Well, my week has been not that filled of action, stuff like that. I did start doing the Love is in the Air activities when it started on Sunday. So I've done the boss fight in Shadowfang Keep a couple times now. Haven't seen any mount drop or any rare drop like that. I got the mask from last year. So I'm really only the 1 in a million love rocket drop happens. Even if that love rocket drop happens, I don't even know if I'd ride it. It's a little awkward. A little awkward.
it's a little bit pimp, in all honesty. If I look at it with the zebra seatings and everything.
I definitely have to wear a fancy purple hat if I decided to use that as a mount. I don't know. It's
definitely
kind of weird. aside from that, I did a little bit of pet battle leveling, got a Clockwork Gnome up to level 25, a couple others too, I think. My Alliance Monk is at level 86. I'm kind of doing about a level a week with him. And in LFR, I finally got my tier pants to drop, which was really cool because I was able to swap out the shoulders I was wearing for a drop that I got in normal mode. So aside from all of that, I did a bunch of PTR shenanigans, and I'll talk about that a little later on in the show. So even though Medros is supposedly AFK, I think he might want to tell all of us about his week too. So Medros, how is your week?
Hey guys, thanks for letting me tell you guys about my week. My week has been pretty tame, actually. I got a little bit into the LFR. I got Terrace of Endless Springs done. No loot, no weapon, unfortunately. I did get a scenario and upgraded my helm, so now my eye level on my main is up to 480. Don't know what the LFR requirements can be for Throne of Thunder, but I'm a little bit closer at least. And let's see, been going out and doing some pet battles here and there, been kind of working on the auction house and doing vegetable farming and also monopolizing. Check out my article that I put up today on the website titled Veggie Economics for more information on that. And yeah, just been playing my characters. I got my monk up to 36 before I ran out of rested XP. And I've got about 3 hours currently of the rep or the XP buff on him. Thanks, Ro, for pointing that out to me. So I've got a nice chunk of rested bonus XP on him. So if I want to, I probably could keep going. But it's always nice to have the rested plus the class bonus there for XP. So yeah, that's been kind of my week. Just to let everybody know regarding the pet battle tournament that we have coming up this weekend, we only have 5 people who signed up, so we may do the higher level pet tournaments and some of the ones that have a lot of people entering. But if there's only one person entering for a rank, then we will likely just go with handing out the prize to that person. And work on planning one in the future. If anybody wants to help or provide suggestions on planning that, definitely look forward to hearing from you. Yeah, hope you guys are having a good show. Sorry I couldn't make it. Life does unfortunately get in the way sometimes, but we'll hopefully have some more fun stuff to talk about soon with 5.2 getting ever closer to live. Yeah, that's kind of about it. Hope you guys have a great rest of your show, and we'll see you next week with a really fun guest. So take care.
All right. Thank you, Medros, for coming back from being AFK, sort of, talking from across time and space.
it's almost like an episode of Doctor Who.
Right. And hey, for all I know, Medros might appear at some point in the show actually in living color. So who knows what's going to happen? But right now I know what's going to happen, and that's going to be talking about one of our sponsors, and that is Doghouse Systems. Doghouse Systems makes amazing computers. Some of the best gaming computers in the world can be found at doghousesystems.com, because the folks who run the place are gamers too, and they know what you want in an awesome system and at a good price. They stress test every computer they sell to make sure it's going to be rock solid for the end user. When you buy your new computer and use the code BACON, you'll get double the memory. And when you use the code Kerrigan until March 12th, you can have a chance to win a replica of Kerrigan's Ghost Sniper Rifle from StarCraft. So check them out today at doghousesystems.com, and we thank them for being a sponsor for all things Azeroth.
And now the news. From around the world of Warcraft.
All right, so our first story, our top story, was something that actually just came up earlier today. And as you guys may or may not know, I do the show notes for the show lately. And I had everything all set to go. I knew what we were going to talk about at the top of the show and all of that. And then Bashiok drops a blog article in my lap and says, "Oh, hi, by the way, we think we know when 5.2 is going to launch." So there's this article on the World of Warcraft official site called Preparing to Kill a King. And it's basically Bashiok talking about what he's going to do personally to get ready for patch 5.2 with his characters and such, and giving us all a reminder of some of the things that are coming up in 5.2 and just making sure that we're better prepared to take all of that on. Syl, how prepared do you feel you are for 5.2?
Oh, I'm not at all. I still need to level to 90. No, I'm not very much prepared, but I'm very much looking forward to it because it has dinosaurs.
Yes, it has a whole island of dinosaurs. Well, two islands, but one entirely full of dinosaurs.
I know, I'm really excited about it. So I need to start leveling even faster now.
Well, one thing you'll be happy to know is that once you hit level 90, gearing up for the new raid finder, you'll need an item level of 480. However, the Valor gear that's been available now in 5.0 and 5.1, there's going to be a discount on that. So once you have Valor points, you can buy those items at a cheaper price, and that'll hopefully get your item level up faster to 480. So since you haven't hit level 90, you haven't had to worry about dailies and doing the whole Lesser Charm and Elder Charm grinding. Now, with all the months that the expansion's been out, I'm sure you've heard people talk about, oh my gosh, the daily grind, dailies, and more dailies. So what are your thoughts about all the dailies that you're going to have to do to try to accumulate these charms? Are you intimidated by what's going to happen when you hit 90, or what are your thoughts on all that?
Well, my druid hit 90, and and so I have experienced the daily grind, also because I couldn't choose between all the dailies, so I was basically doing all of them at once, which was not a very clever idea, I think, in the end, because I got really burned out.
Yeah, I tried to do all the things at the same time, and after about a week of that, I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna chew my dailies one mouthful at a time. So I'd work on one faction, get that to exalted, move on to the next, and just kind of slow my roll, so to speak. Well, another thing that's happening with 5.2, as Bashiok mentions, is that reputation grinding for your characters is going to be easier. We're going to have that bonus reputation in heroics and scenarios. So for alts like your shaman, once it hits 90 and all of that, it'll be easier to get your shaman caught up to close to where your druid is. I'm curious, with your druid that you got to level 90, is your druid decked out in purples yet, or how geared is she?
She was geared pretty well because back in the couple of months that we started, we raided the first part of, is it Mogishan Vault? I can't remember.
Yeah, Mogishan Vault.
Yeah, and we killed that on 10 man completely until the third boss. And then we went to the second part with, is that the couple of kings that you have at a certain point? We didn't get Elegon down. That was the part that we were stuck on.
The Spirit Kings is the boss right before Elegon.
Yeah, we killed them, and then it was Elegon. And then basically, stuff happened. My raiding guild imploded, and I just stopped raiding because I was sick and tired of it at that point. And so she's decked out reasonably all right. I'm not too you know, when I look at her, I'm like, oh, you look horrible. She has okay gear, but she's a bit messy because I had to basically have the same gear and reforge it constantly. If they needed DPS, I was a boomkin, and then as if I needed to heal, I was resto, and it was messy. It was very messy.
Having played a boomkin in Wrath of the Lich King, although reforging wasn't around, I can sympathize with the gear pains, because although boomkins can use resto gear and vice versa, there is some pieces of gear that just feel more boomy and some that are more resto, and it was a pain having to have two sets back in the day. Does your druid have any valor saved up?
Oh, I think she does.
Well, you'll definitely want to spend it because they are going to wipe all the valor that our characters have when 5.2 hits. And the point that I haven't really gotten to just yet is that in the blog post, Bashiok mentions, and I'm just going to try to read this a bit verbatim here. He says, "Of course, we don't tend to give out patch release dates ahead of time because things can slip. But right now, we're targeting the last week of February." So the last Tuesday of February is February 26th. Now, that's a few days after they're testing the final stage of the island unlocks on the PTR. And it's also a day after this World of Warcraft sale is supposed to end, which we'll talk about later in the show. So when Medros and I talked last night, before this announcement was made, he and I asked, I asked him, when do you think the patch is going to hit? And he said, February 26th. And I said, I don't think so, because I thought there's no way that they're going to come out with 5.2 any sooner than March. It just seemed crazy to me. And for them to then post this article and say, "Hey, Ro, you're wrong. Medros is right." And it's, So do you think 5.2 is coming too soon? Does it feel too soon for yourself and your characters?
No. And I'm not going to complain about patches being released so quickly, because I think everyone who has experienced Cataclysm in the last half year shouldn't complain about that and should just be happy that they're releasing patches so regularly and so quickly. And it's the thing that I always keep saying. It might feel a bit like, to a lot of people, like, "Oh my God, I haven't even finished, you know, like everything in 5.1 yet. And there's so much still to do." It's not as if the game, you know, if 5.2 will go after a couple of months, you have all this stuff to look forward to. So, you know, just take your time and keep at it in your own pace. Yeah, you might be a bit behind compared to other people. But then again, you know, if you compare yourself to like these high-end raiders who clear content within a week, you know, then you could say to any quote-unquote normal person, "Well, yeah, you're behind because look at the high-end guilds. They've already cleared it." So
right.
I think people just... I think people moan too much.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. One thing I'm thinking about when it comes to this whole too soon, too long, and all of that is there's a whole bunch of content that if you haven't gone to it now, it's just like you said, it's not going to go anywhere. And when the next expansion is about to arrive, when we're, say, 6 months out from whatever the next expansion is going to be, they need time to develop and get ready the new land masses and whatever that expansion content's going to be. As much as they may want us to give us frequent updates, I'm going to expect that between the very last patch, whatever it is, and the expansion, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a 6 to 7 month period where we don't see anything new. So if we're stocking up and building up a whole bunch of content that I haven't gotten to just yet, I'm cool with that myself, because that means I'll get to it eventually and it'll be less time that I'll be worrying about waiting for the next expansion to arrive.
Yep. I you know, like I said, I just feel that if there's enough to do, I'd rather have so many things stacked up in the end that I can do than that I'm rushing for everything and just go, "Well, I'm bored now. Where's my content?"
Yeah, just a couple more points from this blog post, and I invite you guys all to check it out to look at in detail. But like I said, Valor upgrades are going in 5.2. If you have excess Valor, use it on upgrades. If you have one or two pieces of gear that you're aiming for right now between now and the patch, honestly, I wouldn't worry about it. Upgrade the pieces that you don't think you're going to be getting upgrades for anytime soon. Just earn up some Valor after 5.2 hits if you really want those certain pieces at a cheaper price, or just build up Valor for the new pieces that are coming with the new reputation, which, by the way, is not tied to dailies. Everyone rejoice!
Yay!
It's tied to the raid itself, the Throne of Thunder, and you will be able to gain reputation doing the Raid Finder mode of Throne of Thunder. So that will be your way to acquire new Valor Gear in 5.2. Yes, it's gated behind reputations, but at least, thank goodness, it's not gated behind dailies. So I'm fine with that. The only other things I can think of as far as his post goes is that if you've been working on the Legendary Quest, one thing I noticed that was kind of interesting is that he mentions that the Eye of the Black Prince, which puts a prismatic socket in a Shaw-touched weapon, apparently will be able to be used for raid weapons that drop in 5.2. Now, I actually sent a tweet earlier in the day when I saw this to try to get confirmation if that's actually accurate, and I haven't received a reply yet, so I'm hoping they clear that up. But if you can actually use the Eye of the Prince for 5.2 weapons, that's great. But your Shaw-touched weapon itself will probably become outdated, but that's okay. We have a legendary metagem that we're going to be acquiring through the new part of the quest in 5.2. Have you gotten through much of the legendary quest line yourself on your druid?
No.
Haven't had time, or just haven't been too concerned about it?
A bit of both.
A little bit of column A and column B, huh?
Yeah.
That's quite understandable. Being a bit of a raider and a lore junkie, the whole legendary quest line has been like, nom nom nom, must consume, must have legendary items now.
It does sound really amazing, but I think because I was very confused for a long time about what I wanted to do in WoW, because I think people who have listened to my podcast have heard that I had to take a step back for several months because I wasn't happy in the game because I had no idea right. What I wanted to do. So at that point, yeah, legendary, I would have loved it, but you know, since I wasn't happy with my druid, I felt a bit cheeky by going, oh yeah, I need to get something for her when I wasn't even sure about playing her. You know, for the lore story, I would love to get it on my Draenei now just to see all the lore aspects of it, but I'm not in a hurry. So I'm like, well, mm-hmm. If that comes later on, I'll do that.
Right. And one thing about just really quickly about the Elder Charms is, although we're going to have this new thing, the Mogu Rune of Fate that we're buying with Lesser Charms, you'll still be able to get Elder Charms doing content on the Isle of the Thunder King with the dailies and stuff there. So as you're progressing through the lore on your Shaman Sill on the Isle of the Thunder King, you should still be able to gear up your Shaman and get Elder Charms for the earlier raids while getting the whole experience with the lore and such at the same time. And without spoiling too much, guys, like I said, I was on the PTR. I've done the beginning of the quest on the Isle of the Thunder King. Just the intro to it, the way you end up on the Isle, and the first couple of things you do, it's absolutely epic and amazing. I was very excited about it. I wasn't expecting them to throw the content at me the way they did and the way they're presenting it. It's really interesting. It's not exactly like what we've done in 5.0 and 5.1, as you'll see. And you guys are going to love it, I think. And I'm curious to hear what your guys' feedback is on it once it's out. So I can't wait for all that. But there's just one problem still with all this talk about 5.2. WoW's dead.
That's true. But isn't that every time that they release, you know, the numbers for how many subscribers they have?
I guess. But, I mean, you know, I saw this article that said, you know, the quarterly report came out. And, oh my gosh, guys. World of Warcraft is down to only 9.6 million subscribers. Well, you know what? I guess that's it. WoW's dead. That's the show. Good night, everybody.
Can I have those 9.6 million subscribers to my my podcast feed, please?
Right? So, yeah. WoW's down to 9.6 million subscribers. Now, in a follow-up to that, they did say that the majority of that subscriber loss was from China, which was similar to what happened with Cataclysm. But what's not similar to Cataclysm is they have said that people are more engaged in the content during Mists of Pandaria in the first few months than they had been during Cataclysm. And I think that's a big duh right there, because mm-hmm. there's just so much more to do. And for anyone worrying about the lifespan of World of Warcraft, I've said it before, and I'll say it a million times, Ultima Online is still going on. EverQuest 1 and 2 are still going on. World of Warcraft isn't dying until like 2040. That's a lot of podcasts for Medros to do.
I bet he's looking forward to that already.
I don't know if I'll be here till 2040 doing World of Warcraft podcasts, but I know he will be. But yeah, it's a big deal, and it's not a big deal at the same time. I don't really think people should worry about it, because right now, I would arguably say, just personally, this is totally my opinion, I think World of Warcraft, the experience itself, is the best that's ever been, right here and now. Others may not agree with me. That's fine, that's cool, I understand that. And mind you, there are things about the game, as far that the elitist in me from time to time cries out and says, man, things are getting way too homogenized and way too easy mode and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm changing as a player of this game, and I'm still having a ton of fun with it. So as long as you're having fun, as long as you're involved in the game and you've got friends in the game and you're enjoying the experience, who cares how many people are in the game?
It's not as if you're going to play with all those millions of people at once, are you?
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you know how big your chat screen would be if that happens?
I'm in a guild with hundreds of people in the guild right now. I know how big the chat screen is for that. I can't even imagine 9.6 million players on one chat at the same time. If everyone shared one chat channel, all I think I'd be able to see is like the Matrix, just zeros and ones. It'd all be a blur to me, and I'd kind of zone out. And somewhere in there, I would happen to see, did somebody say Thunder Fury, Blessed Blade of the Windseeker? Moving on. let's get to our next sponsor is Audible. They provide truly amazing audiobooks. When Medro signed up for Audible the first time, there were lots of books that were 2 credits, some of the best books that are on the site. Now, though, the great folks at Audible have changed things so that all books are just 1 credit. That could easily save you $15 on some of the larger books. And add on to that a return policy, unheard of for most other booksellers, and you have one hell of a good deal. Today's pick is inspired by Syl. I've heard you like a little Game of Thrones there, right?
I love Game of Thrones, and it's almost starting again on TV.
Now, I have to ask, how many of the books have you read, and how much of the series have you watched?
I've watched all of the series, but I mm-hmm. started reading it before the first season started, and I am on the last book now, A Dance with Dragons. A Dance of mm-hmm. Dragons, and I've almost finished it.
Well, we do have a clip from A Song of Ice and Fire from A Game of Thrones, and that is from George R.R. Martin, and let's go ahead and play that clip right now.
Will had known they would drag him into the quarrel sooner or later. He wished it had been later rather than sooner. My mother told me that dead men sing no songs, he put in. My wet nurse said the same thing, Will, Royce replied. Never believe anything you hear at a woman's tit. There are things to be learned even from the dead. His voice echoed too loud in the twilight forest. We have a long ride before us, Garrett pointed out. 8 days, maybe 9, and night is falling. Sir Waymar Royce glanced at the sky with disinterest. It does that every day about this time. Are you unmanned by the dark, Garrett? Will could see the tightness around Garrod's mouth, the barely suppressed anger in his eyes under the thick black hood of his cloak. Garrod had spent 40 years in the Night's Watch, man and boy, and he was not accustomed to being made light of.
All right, that again is Game of Thrones, book one in the series, A Song of Ice and Fire, written by George R.R. Martin, narrated by Roy Dotrice, and you can find that and over 100,000 other titles at bit.ly/ATABook, and we thank them for sponsoring All Things Azeroth. So we have a few other bits of news that we'd like to cover this week. May not spend a whole bunch of time on them, but they're things that you should definitely know about and pass on to your friends, especially if you have friends that are possibly on the fence of coming back to World of Warcraft. Maybe they didn't sign up for, maybe they didn't buy Mists of Pandaria. Maybe you have that one friend or two that you might be able to talk into actually playing World of Warcraft. Maybe you just want to buy an extra copy of the game for yourself for recruiter friends so you can level up an alt fast. Either way, now's the perfect time to get involved in all of that because World of Warcraft games just went on sale on Monday. Again, just found out about this hours ago. We got an email from Zarim. They posted this on the World of Warcraft site, tweeted about it. So you can get the World of Warcraft Battle Chest right now for $5. You can get Cataclysm for $10. And you can get Mists of Pandaria for just $20. So right now, the whole game is $5 cheaper than what Mists of Pandaria usually is. Still, have you ever bought an extra copy of the game for yourself?
No, because that would mean that I would have to pay another subscription. I can't do that. No, I have thought about it because every time I see it, I'm like, oh, that's so cheap, I want to buy it. But it's the subscription that's holding me back for that, because everyone knows that I love rolling alts, so that would be ideal because I can stay on the same server. But no, unless someone out there is willing to pay my subscription for a second account, no extra account for me. But I was thinking, since it is almost Valentine's Day, and nothing says I love you to get your loved one addicted to an MMO, this is ideal to give for Valentine's Day.
Exactly. I was going to say something to that effect, and I'm glad you mentioned it. what better Valentine's Day gift is there, guys? If you're a guy and you're trying to get your girlfriend in the World of Warcraft, and I'll even flip the side there. If you're a girl and you want your boyfriend again in the World of Warcraft, this is the time to do it. It's cheap, it's easy. Heck, just spend the $5. I mean, if you don't want to shell out the whole $35 for the whole game, just get the battle chest for $5. You know, tell them, hey, try this out, and no big deal. You can get your character up to level 80, and if by level 80 you haven't figured out whether you like it or not, well, then you could just go on to the next thing. There's no reason not to get at least a copy of the battle chest, even the put a copy of the battle chest aside. You may not know someone right now who you want to bring into the game or who you want to encourage to try out World of Warcraft, but spending $5 to have a battle chest code there handy just in case something comes up and someone's interested in World of Warcraft, then heck, there you go. The next thing I want to talk about is actually something that might interest a lot of podcasters out there and a lot of people who like listening to podcasts. And as you guys know, I also do a podcast called Realm Maintenance, which is all about World of Warcraft podcasts. And shameless plug, I'm interviewing Girls Gone Wild this week. So big coincidence that Syl's on the show this week, huh?
I know. And
entirely unplanned. Entirely unplanned. Hold on one second here. I'm getting news from the shadows that someone may not be AFK anymore. Hello?
Hello, how are you doing today? I'm here.
Well, how are you doing?
I am doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. How was your Valentine's dinner?
It was good. It was good. Got done early, so decided I should try and make an appearance.
Well, I'm glad you're on. Just really quick, what are your... I'm not sure how much of the show you caught before you came on, but what are your thoughts about the big announcement with 5.2 apparently coming a lot sooner than I thought it would.
Four words regarding a conversation I had yesterday. I'm trying to think of what they are. I told you so. Yeah, that's what it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just coincidence that the day before that post comes out, we have a discussion about whether or not, or when we think the patch is coming out. And I said, by the end of the month. Now, of course, as always, it's a PTR, things can change, plans can change, they can find a massive bug that we can't have it out right away. But I think it's pretty likely that we're going to have it out February 26th, and yeah, we can all be taming new pets and having good times and killing Thunder King.
Yep, I'm definitely looking forward to it myself. I'm glad that you were able to get in right about now, because, like I said, the next thing that we wanted to talk about here is a post that Zarm had put up a little earlier on in the week that's titled, Your Developer Interview Druthers. And this post was basically asking the forum community out there, and the word spread around through Twitter and all that, there's a poll question first at the top of the post that says, when seeking design insights on new or upcoming content, what developer press interview format do you find most useful? So when you get these interviews that come with, you know, the launch of Miss Pandaria, the like the Ghostcrawler interview that we had with 5.1 and all of that happening, there are many interviews that happen. There's some that happen with podcasts, some with fan sites. Some of them are audio, some are written. And Zarm's trying to get feedback from the community on what kind of interviews do they like the most. Now, obviously, I think Sil Medros and I are going to be a little bit biased here.
Okay, let me answer this the best way I can. When I'm the one getting the interview, I prefer audio podcast. When others are doing the interview, I do prefer audio and transcript, because then I can get the salient points, and then when I have time, I can listen, you know, to the podcast and get the actual interview. But, you know, as much as a podcaster, I know that transcripts did likely lower the amount of traffic that we got when we interviewed Ghostcrawler. I, as a reader do or listener, do prefer to have that information via transcript before I have a chance to listen to the podcast.
Absolutely. And how about yourself, Sil, just for the record?
Podcast for me.
Yep. Podcast with transcript is probably my favorite also, just because in addition to being able to see the Cliff Notes version of what's said in their interview, actually listening to the interview itself, these people, these developers, believe it or not, they are human, and they actually do have a tone of voice when they talk, and I kind of like hearing that personality when, in the interview. They aren't robots, after all. And Ghostcrawler, I can just say from the interview that we had with Ghostcrawler, he does have a personality that is quite unique, in my opinion. So the post just went on to have the, it had the poll, and it's basically asking you guys, what topics interest you the most? What format do you prefer the most? What sites or podcasts are your primary sources for WoW news? Questions all like that. Now, when this post came out, obviously, if you're looking at Blue Post trackers, you would have seen this. If you are watching Twitter, you would have seen this post. If you're paying attention to WoWhead MMO champion sites like this, you'll be drawn to the post. But I really, as someone who just loves WoW podcasting in general, if you are listening to us here, I really want you to go to this sticky post on the general discussion forum, read it, answer the poll, answer honestly. I mean, I would love for you to select podcast and audio with transcript. But answer honestly, give your feedback. If more people who listen to podcasts of all kinds and sizes reply to this forum and we show Zarm that there is more than just people who like reading words, then I think that could go a long way to maybe adding an extra podcast or two in the rotation each time these interviews go out. I'm not making any promises whatsoever that's going to happen if you reply, mind you. And we'll probably only see like 3 or 4 podcasts in this next round that's coming up get an interview. If we get it, awesome, great. I'm not counting on it, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But yeah, go to this post, check it out, vote on the poll, all good stuff. Anything you guys wanted to add about that?
Well, for me, I would just say that, you know, there is some people who question, you know, why Blizzard does these and what they, you know, whether there's PR, you know, junk. And, you know, I honestly think that Blizzard wouldn't be asking if they didn't want to hear what you had to say. And if they do, you know, want to change things, if they want to improve things and make it more favorable and put it out there in a way that people are going to actually pay attention, then we need to get our voices out there and let ourselves be heard.
Anything you wanted to add, Syl?
I just think podcasts rule. So just get more podcasts, and hopefully that will also get Blizzard more into the whole. We involve the podcast community more and want to do interviews and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I do think that Blizzard is making a very strong effort to get more connected to the community. Just in the past week, I have seen a large number of podcasts say that they have started receiving emails from Zarm and the community team. Podcasts that have not had contact with these guys for months or in many cases ever. And I'm really excited to see these connections being made. I'm excited to see podcasting being given more importance and just a stronger connection to how Blizzard is trying to disseminate all of the media and information to all of you in the community. So I'm really excited. I'm glad that this post is up, and I can't wait to see what happens with WoW podcasting in the future. It's can't be anything but good stuff. Let's move on to the next topic. Now, several episodes ago, Nonania, Medros, and I were talking about a little thing called Project Blackstone. I said, I think, didn't we all pretty much say, Medros, that it was probably related to Diablo?
I think that was pretty much the consensus, that we all thought it was something to do with that title, maybe an expansion or an expansion on that topic. And yeah.
And we were very wrong, because it's not Titan, it's not Diablo, it's not Warcraft, it's StarCraft. So yeah, Project Blackstone, what it appears to be is a ARG that's an alternate reality game for StarCraft II. I believe this is basically kind of extra propaganda for Heart of the Swarm, which is releasing, if I'm not mistaken, on March 12th. And, you know, just really quickly thinking about it, I should have agreed with you, Medros, on the February 26th date, because I did not think about Heart of the Swarm's release, and they really wouldn't want to have a patch release right on top of or right next to Heart of the Swarm releasing. So
if Heart of the Swarm is coming out on the 12th, they don't want to be doing a WoW patch on the 5th. Not one that's this big, that's going to distract a lot of people. And honestly, I kind of, you know, the way I thought about it is either by the end of February or in April, because you either want to get it out ahead of time so people have some time to get into that and then come back to StarCraft when the expansion comes out, or put out so far after the expansion that anybody who's going campaign will have already played it, and they've kind of, anybody playing StarCraft 2 will have kind of slowed down a bit on their play, so they can get back into WoW.
Gotcha. Syl, is StarCraft 2 your thing at all?
Yes, but more for the campaign, the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
not,
I imagine,
not like the people who really constantly play against each other. That's not my thing.
Yeah, and I'm with you there. I'm more a campaign person with StarCraft 2. I played the Wings of Liberty campaign, beat it on normal. I will probably, you know, in the week that Heart of the Swarm comes out, I will probably spend that week doing the normal campaign for the Zerg. I'm really excited about that. Are you more, when it comes to the three races, are you more a Terran, Zerg, or Protoss person? Just out of curiosity.
Protoss and Zerg, because they are so alien. I think I like Protoss because it looks like such an interesting, civilized, different culture, and Zerg is just, it's Zerg. I mean, it's Kerrigan. It's amazing.
Absolutely. What's your favorite race, Medros? As if I have to ask.
I don't actually know that I have a favorite. I'll be honest. You know, much like Syl, I'm really more into it for the campaign. At this time, $60 for, you know, the campaign didn't really seem like it was a valuable thing. So the only way I got to experience the campaign was they gave me an invite to the StarCraft arcade testing, and I guess somebody accidentally left the campaign mode on in that testing, so I was able to experience the entire campaign without actually buying the game. But I will point out, I am planning to buy the game as soon as I can afford to.
Well, you lucky devil! I had no idea that happened.
Yeah, I don't even know if they turned that off at that point. I do actually still have the StarCraft 2 PTR, but I will admit that I, you know, experiencing the campaign there really got me interested in the story of StarCraft 2, and I am really interested in seeing what the story, you know, the campaign mode going forward for StarCraft 2 Heart of the Swarm is, because I really found it really intriguing to experience that.
For those of you that haven't gotten it, just if you're wondering, okay, guys, this is not a StarCraft 2 podcast, it's a World of Warcraft podcast. Totally understand that. Let me drag this right back to World of Warcraft. If you like StarCraft 2, get the Collector's Edition, you'll get a Battle Pet. Done. Baneling Battle Pet, awesome. I'm definitely getting the Digital Collector's Edition. I must have the Baneling Battle Pet, because Banelings, enough said. But let's move on to some stuff that people were wondering if it was going to happen or not when it comes to raiding. And along with other recent announcements, we found out that, along with the Valor reset coming and all of that, we found out that raid nerfs will be happening to the old 5.0 raids once 5.2 hits, via a buff which reduces the damage health of the bosses in the 5.0 raids by 10%. And nobody cares. Medros, do you care?
I don't know that it'll apply to the form of raiding that I do, so not particularly. I will point out that my main, who actually has been in LFR, is already geared enough for LFR Throne of Thunder, because in Bashiok's post he did mention that the item level requirement for that's going to be 480, and he just hit 480 with a helm out of scenarios. So,
look at you!
I know, I've actually experienced an entire tier of rating content. I'm shocked, and I'm sure many of our listeners are equally as shocked.
I'm still shocked. Syl, how about you? Does this nerf for the current tier content, once it becomes old, does this nerf make you cringe? Do you care? Is this a thing for you?
I find it completely unacceptable. Shouldn't, you know, everything be so hard for everyone? Why do they have to cater to the casual player?
To the casuals.
No, I if they want to do that, so be it. I don't really mind.
Yeah, I mean, also considering that we don't have new heroic Thymans coming in the patch, the Valor gear we have now is only getting discounted. It's not going to be purchasable with justice points. They are also increasing the drop rate in these old raids once 5.2 hits. So the nerf to me almost feels like not necessarily trying to take the challenge away as much, but making this level of content more accessible for people who are just plain trying to gear up for Throne of Thunder. And a few years ago, the elitist in me would have had a problem with this. Now, especially considering that the majority of my raiding is Raid Finder raiding, and I do normal mode raiding about 4 hours a week, if that, I don't have a problem with this. I mean, my normal mode raid group right now is still chugging away at Mogoshan Vaults, and if we down Will of the Emperor before 5.2 hits, if we can get Will of the Emperor down in 2 weeks, I will call that a dramatic victory. So, yeah, I have no problem with this whatsoever. And I haven't really seen too many people complain about it. Bashiok had even made a self-flame against himself because no one else was really complaining. So it's just interesting to see how times have changed when it comes to this whole deal with nerfs and stuff. And I think it's also more because the nerfs are happening after the content is no longer relevant. So I don't think it's a big deal. If this had happened in the middle of 5.0 or 5.1, I think people would be complaining a lot more. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, definitely.
I just have to say, it's heartbreaking to see that the community managers must flame themselves for the lack of proper flaming by the community.
When they're getting that desperate, I feel like I need to get my troll on more. I don't know. One last bit of news for those of you that are into the lore. The Dawn of the Aspects ebook is coming out in parts, and an excerpt from the Dawn of the Aspects ebook is now available. It's from Richard Knack. It tells a bit about the story of the Dragon Aspects when they were still protodrakes, and when the Dragon Father Galakrond was still out and about and being all big and nasty. I can personally say I have not had a chance to read the excerpt yet. I am planning on checking this out, even though, just personally, I don't think Knack's writing is bad, mind you. I do tend to find myself more favorable of Christy Golden's writing. I don't necessarily even think that you need to choose one camp or another when it comes to these guys, but I know some people have tended to be a little overcritical of Knack. I think that's a little much sometimes when it comes to criticism of his stuff, but still, all the same, I'm interested in this lore about the Dragon Aspects that I never even really considered or thinking about. Are either of you guys planning on checking out this lore?
I'll read it, but personally, and everyone is going to hate me, I'm a bit done with the dragons now, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. I don't care as much as I used to. I'd much rather read stories about the faction leaders, like the Vol'jin book that's coming, than reading again about the dragons.
Well, and I think that the story developers at Blizzard almost acknowledge your viewpoint with the change that happened at the climax of Cataclysm, when, you know, the Dragon Aspects have basically lost the great majority of the power given to them and the Age of Mortals has begun. What are your thoughts on that, Medros?
Well, I'm excited for the last bit of lore going all the way back to the beginning of the Dragon Aspect. So in that aspect, you know, I'm very curious because it's part of, you know, the part of the story that we don't yet really have a lot of information on. But other than, you know, wrapping up the story of the dragons, I don't really see much more need for anything else in that regard. You know, I do like the dragons, and, you know, I do kind of wish we hadn't been fighting dragons all our life, it seems. But I'm excited to see what we're gonna have going forward, what new aspect of the universe we'll explore. Because we'll always have something that will be dragon-like, or, you know, at least in their presence. It's just a matter of what that will be in actual reality. I'd love to see maybe the Titans appear and be the new guiding force on Azeroth, but I don't know if I actually see that happening.
I agree. I think that it's very deliberate that they have taken the turn they have with the Dragon Aspects and how much of the spotlight that they are in the current part, the current stage of the World of Warcraft game. I think we'll return to seeing a bit more what's happening with them later. I mean, we're going to see a little bit of story, I believe, with Kalikos. I don't think we're going to see too much of Alexstrasza or any of the other aspects anytime soon. We may see some from Kalagos. Obviously, we're dealing a lot with Rathion, although he's not an aspect. He is kind of by default the main Black Dragon flight guy. So we will see what comes there. But there's plenty of lore flying around these days, not just with that ebook. There's still just a few months away, if that, before the Vol'jin book comes out. And along with that, you know, we have a whole bunch of troll lore going on right now tied to the Isle of the Thunder King and the Zandalari being a main part of that. And Shade wrote an article about the Zandalari up on WoW Insider on her Know Your Lore article. And I figured since she talked about the Zandalari and since the Zandalari are playing a important part in what's coming up, why not ask a question that gets you guys a prize related to it? So let's give away something. What do you guys think?
Yeah, why not?
Alrighty. So, the question is a troll question. If you know your troll lore, good for you. If you don't know your troll lore, be quick on that WoWpedia search. Again, I've said this several times in a row, and I will continue to say it until I'm finally proven right. This time, I think I've chosen an easy one, guys. I think. Really, really, I do. So, we're going to talk a little bit about the Imani tribe. And Zul'aman, you guys may remember it from the revamp in Cataclysm, for those of you who have played the game, been around in the game more recently. Before Zul'aman was a five-man, it was a raid. And one of the unique things about Zul'aman is that in Burning Crusade, it had one warlord at the end of it, and in Cataclysm, it had a different warlord at the end of it. So, what I want to know is what are the names of the two Imani warlords that Adventurers vanquished as the final boss of Zul'aman, so the BC version and the Cata version. And I'm so glad that DG got the answer a week or two ago, because he's ineligible this week, wahaha. While you guys are digging up the answer to that, I do believe we have another segment of Taming Azeroth from Jan, so let's go ahead and play that while we're waiting for answers.
Let the games begin! Enter the arena!
Hey guys, I'm Jan, and this is Taming Azeroth. Well, love is in the air, and that means I'll be talking to you guys about Petalfeet this week, the creepiest goblin cupid in Azeroth. Petalfeet becomes available for purchase during the Love is in the Air world event, and costs 40 love tokens to buy. However, Petalfeet is also cageable, meaning that even after the event is over, you will be able to find him on the auction house. Petalfeet is also required to earn the achievement Permapetal, which is one of the holiday achievements for the Love is in the Air world event. However, only having the silver arrow in your bags is not enough to trigger the achievement, and you will actually have to learn this pet. But like I said, he is cageable, meaning that you can learn him, cage him, and sell him again. Petalfeet is a breed type 5, making him only male, also meaning that he has higher attack speed than he does attack power and health points, making him much more likely to attack first each round. Petalfeet is also a humanoid type pet. Now, as a passive ability, humanoids recover 4% of their maximum health every time that they attack. They take 50% more damage from undead abilities and 33% less damage from critter abilities. At level 1, your Petalfeet pet will learn the ability Bowshot, which takes a shot, dealing humanoid damage to the enemy. It's strong against dragonkin types and weak against beast types. At level 2, Petalfeet learns the humanoid ability Lovestruck, which stuns the target for one round and has a 5-round cooldown. At level 4, your pet will learn the ability Shot Through the Heart, which aims carefully for one round, then releases a shot on the next, dealing a large amount of humanoid damage. Shot Through the Heart has a 3-round cooldown. It is strong against dragonkin type pets and weak against beast types. At level 10, your Petalfeet will learn the humanoid ability Rapid Fire, which fires a rapid volley of arrows at the enemy team, dealing humanoid damage to all enemy pets. Rapid Fire is strong against dragonkin types and weak against beast types. At level 15, Petalfeet learns, you guessed it, another humanoid ability, Perfumed Arrow. Perfumed Arrow fires a perfumed arrow, dealing humanoid damage to the enemy. It also has a 25% chance to stun the target for one round. Much like all of Petalfeet's other abilities, it is strong against dragonkin types and weak against beast types. And finally, at level 20, your creepy little pedal feet will learn the ability Love Potion, another humanoid-type ability. Love Potion restores 25% of your pet's health, and this ability always goes first. Love Potion also has a 3-round cooldown. And there's a look at the little goblin Cupid pedal feet. If you have any suggestions, questions, or requests for pets you'd like to hear on Taming Azeroth, you can follow me on Twitter at Jangasm. You can also find archived segments of Taming Azeroth at somethingsuggestive.com. Until next time, happy hunting!
Thank you, Jan, for that segment. I appreciate that. Medros, have you done anything with the Love is in the Air event in the game yet?
Nope, I have, I've done it plenty of times in the past. I don't really feel the need to get the pink rocket. So the only reason I'd participate in it is just try to get a neck. But looking at my main here, his neck's already a 49 piece, so I don't really need a new neck on him. Though I might go with my other 90 and try and get something there. I think I assume it's an 89 minimum requirement for facing the bosses there, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Well, if I can get my my druid up, maybe I can get some early level 90 epics for him, but not really feeling a rush to do that. I have other priorities. As Kristen, who's in our chat room, will know very well, I was out mining last night to prepare my auction house plans for 5.2. I only farmed up like 420 ore. I mean, I was so disappointed that I didn't have more room in my bags.
I'm still going to participate in the Love is in the Air event just to get an extra pedal feet to put on the auction house, maybe get another lovebird or two to save for a few months, but I won't be spending too much time with it. I'll do the daily dungeon thing to see if the rocket drops, and like I told Syl, if it does drop, I'm not sure if I'll ever actually use it, and if I do, I may have to be bribed, because yeah, that's just awkward.
Yeah, that is got to be the most awkward mount to ever get in game, honestly.
Absolutely. At least that one is pink. The one from Noble Garden is just an ugly white. It's not even white, it's like an off-white.
Oh, the bird. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Plane Strider mounts in general. I like the Mechano Striders that the gnomes have. I love those things. And I like the Hawk Striders that the Blood Elves have, but Plane Striders, not a huge fan. I also like the Crane mounts. Just not a big Plane Strider person. So we do not have an answer yet for trivia. And I've put the question up in the chat again. If you guys know who the end bosses were for Zulamon for the Burning Crusade and the Cataclysm version of the instance, feel free to put it up in the chat room. If you're one of the many guests I see in the chat channel, log in, put in your answer. You could win stuff. In the meantime...
I'm going to interrupt you there. Speaking of the instance, I was listening to an episode today, and a certain host of the show mentioned that a certain warlock in his raid group does absolutely awesome DPS. Why? What would I have to do to convince you to come Alliance side? Because we could really use anybody with awesome DPS in the Cinder Kitties.
One thing I have to say about that is it's interesting how you can go from one raid group to another and your value or your worth or performance can really vary from one group and another. Like in the first raid groups that I was kind of, you know, spotting, substituting for and being in, these were guys that they weren't bleeding edge raiders, but they were kind of, they were pushing progression as hard as they could. These are guys that who by now have pretty much cleared all normal content. And I was the low man on the totem pole in those groups, and I was the one that was kind of being carried, and I felt like I wasn't giving my all. Now, in this group that I'm in, it's not as much that the players I'm with are my level or below my level. It's not that at all. It's that the players I'm with, you know, they have less time to spend in games, so they haven't had as much time to develop their characters and invest as much into gearing up their characters. So since I've spent so much extra time ahead of the rest of them, I've been a bit ahead of the curve in this group. So I come out looking like I'm godlike on DPS, but these guys, they know their stuff. They know what they're doing. And honestly, I think once we're into the next tier and the tier after that, I'm probably going to be on a couple of their backs again. So I'm not as amazing as they claim I am, but I'm glad that I'm wanted. It does look like we have a winner. And yep, Sirota Taran got it right with Zul'jin in Burning Crusade and Dakara in Cataclysm.
Awesome, congratulations. And Sirota Taran, you will win a little KT pet.
Congrats, Sirota. So let's keep on moving. We did have a question we asked last week. And last week we were talking a bit about the Warcraft movie and what kind of stories we'd like to see in the Warcraft movie. Now, one thing I had seen over the last few days while looking at this is I've seen a few people mention that supposedly in some place Chris Metzen mentions that the Warcraft movie is going to take place around the time frame of a year before the World of Warcraft game started, as far as the lore goes. I'm trying to find where he says that. A few people have said that Chris Metzen said this is what point in the game that the story would take place. Have you seen anything like that, Medros? I'm really trying to find a legit source for that.
I've seen people saying that, but I don't recall ever seeing the quote from him. So I don't know where that happened.
We didn't get Syl's answer because she wasn't here last week. So Syl, of all the stories in the Warcraft universe, which one do you hope that the movie is about?
I'm hoping for two. Mm-hmm. Either the Arthas story, because not because I like Arthas that much, but the story is quite dark. And looking at how Christy Golden did his story, I like how you see the progression of how he changes so much. And also we would have Sylvanas in it, which I'd like to see portrayed in a film. And if that doesn't happen, I hope, even though I'm not a big fan of the books, that it's something like The War of the Ancients. Because that is so much high fantasy, and if they have the money and the production and everything for it, that could look amazing.
I would love to see War of the Ancients myself. I'm concerned that they would shy away from War of the Ancients because there is a severe lack of human character presence in those stories. I have a feeling that whatever we do get, there are going to be human characters at the forefront, which would also mean that it may have more of an alliance-centric story, for better or worse. I like both factions. I play both factions, so I don't really care if it's alliance-centric or horde-centric. There are plenty of people in the community who would much prefer a horde-centric story or an alliance-centric story, though. I'm hoping it's the Arthas story, simply because I think, well, not as much even the Arthas story, but the Lich King story, because I think they could take the whole span of the Lich King saga and do a trilogy out of it if they wanted to really do it right. Starting with Ner'zhul, going up to Arthas becoming the Lich King, going to Arthas eventually being slain could be the end of the second movie, and then the third movie, maybe stuff we haven't seen before with Bolvar being the Lich King. So that's how I feel.
Look, if they can turn The Hobbit into a trilogy, they can turn anything in Warcraft into a trilogy, or like two trilogies.
Yeah, they can make a trilogy out of the Lich King saga easily. We did get quite a few people on Twitter who responded, and Syl, could you read the first few responses from Twitter there?
Yeah. Victim on Horde said, it will be about stuff happening 1 year before Vanilla WoW with the epic old characters. I'm trying to recall what 1 year before Vanilla WoW was, in honesty.
Right, and that's kind of tied to the whole rumor that I was mentioning at the beginning. And that would be, so at the end of Warcraft 3, I guess there's kind of a period of a few years between the end of Warcraft 3 and the beginning of World of Warcraft as far as the lore goes, so I think they're talking about basically that period of time.
Zach said, I really hope it starts with the story of Warcraft 3. I really like the story of Arthas. Daniel Milhot said, Warcraft movie should be about the rise and fall of Hogar and his secretive mistress, guess who?
I couldn't even begin to guess.
You know, I instant cash cow. Just Hogar, that's it. I
Hogar should have his own movie. I mean, do the Warcraft movie and give Hogar like his own CGI animated feature, you know, like Toy Story or something. Just give Hogar his own thing. It'll bring in millions, especially if you got the right voice actor for it.
Oh yeah, and think of the merchandise.
Of course.
Kazoo said, definitely Arthas. For me, he is Warcraft. Everything else would be just disappointing. Sirko said, Thralls, Rice, and the new Horde. Oh, I actually quite like that. That would be very nice to see.
That would be very Chris Metzen-y too, considering how much Chris Metzen has invested in the character of Thrall. And if the movie were to center around Thrall and show people who aren't connected with Warcraft that, hey, an orc doesn't always have to be quote-unquote evil, that might be interesting.
That would be a complete, especially now with The Hobbit and we see orcs in there being portrayed differently, it would be really cool. And I really want Ron Perlman to be at least one orc in there.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, Ron Perlman would definitely be an orc somehow, some way.
That's Mahum Malon. I'm probably completely saying that completely wrong. Mahum Melon Ball?
I believe it's Mahum Melon Ball, yeah.
Yeah. says Warcraft 2 with maybe the opening of the Dark Portal before the actual plot.
Cool. I can see that too. Medros, do you want to get the next few?
Tyler says, pretty it's going to be about the first... I guess he gets pretty sure it's going to be about this first war. Blizz posted a hint screenshot of the World Tree or whatever. Speculation abounds. Tanner Hardenbook, all of them. Okay. Moses D. Jr. Says, I hope the movie will focus its story on the Titans and how the conflicts of the past still shape the world today. Lefty says, the story of Thrall from birth to ascendance as war chief could be interesting, would introduce many important figures. Pets of Warcraft says, Michelle Morrow for Sylvanas, and of course, hashtag Warcraft. And my thoughts on the Warcraft movie will be coming up in a blog post on the site this weekend. So, hope you guys will check those out, and let me know what you guys think. Ro, how about you take the next at?
Clusty MMO said, Garrosh's rise and fall, or just at Angry Orc 1. At Angry Orc 1's quite a character on Twitter. If you guys aren't following him, you should. At Druid Leave says, the story where they ban all the clickers. Mark says, back to basics, the invasion of Azeroth by the corrupted orcs. And Cole sent in a couple tweets back to back that said, I hope it's about Billy the Orc. Jokes aside, I'd say Arthas' story could look awesome and provide a great story. If it were about Illidan, I don't think it would be as interesting. Deathwing is just a typical big bad dragon. Andrew Callaghan said, my story hope is for the Rise of Thrall, Slave to Warchief. And Ali Khan said, Warcraft 3. So what we've seen from these responses is people are for the most part flocking to the Arthas story or the Thrall story. That's not entirely surprising. And I personally would expect it to be one of those or the other. I think a third possibility would be the Varian story, including his abduction, the whole twin split personality thing, Onyxia as the big bad, and all of that. Since that's a story that a lot of people that currently play Warcraft aren't very connected to, but they would still recognize those characters, I could see them telling that as a movie. What do you guys think?
I'd like that, actually. I would really like that.
I'm just going to kind of defer to what I put in my article that's coming up on the ATA site this weekend. It's basically how to make the perfect Warcraft movie, or how to make the movie awesome. It kind of addresses this and a lot of other things. Unlike a lot of other places, I'm trying not to go into casting, because I think casting really depends upon the story, and we don't yet know what the story is. So just kind of give my opinions and thoughts on that. So I do hope you guys will take a read of that and comment on that in the site.
You have a good article on Veggie Economics up there too.
Yeah, that went up today. I do thank Kristen, who is in our chat room there, for giving me the title before I'd even written the article. So I do hope you guys will give me your thoughts on that as well. It was a lot of fun to read, to write, I should say. And don't, if you're on Argent Dawn, you better not use it against me. That's all I'm saying.
Well, our question for this week is going to be tied to a discussion topic, which we'll give some time to next week since we're running a little bit late. And this week's question is, if you could have an item named after you in the game, what would it be? There have been a number of personalities in the World of Warcraft community who have had the great honor of having an item named after them, having an NPC placed after them. We've also seen NPCs that have been memorial tributes to people. And I have not actually thought of an answer for this for myself just yet. Okay, I'm absolutely lying, because I've mentioned the name Rose Tinted Glasses a million times the past few days. So, yeah, obviously that's what my item would be. But we'll definitely have a lot of discussion about this next week, I think, because we're continuing to see tributes and additions and items being added pretty much with every patch. And I think there's a lot that we could talk about in regards to that. Syl, can you think of an item off the top of your head that you would want named after you if you had the chance?
If I can't have a pet that's named after me, and I don't know what it would be, but a pet. Otherwise, probably, since I always talk about it, I would like to be a druid headpiece with actual antlers again.
There you go. But your blog is like named Antler Girl, right?
Yeah. Because so, yeah. I used to love the antler headpieces on my druid.
My druid would be in favor of this. Just gonna say, my druid would be in favor of this. My druid loved the antlers of Malorn and misses them dearly.
Yeah, but what's with the dead trees on my head? I don't want to wear a dead tree. It's wrong.
You don't want to be a haunted tree?
No, it's wrong. It's about life and not about... If I was a forsaken druid, maybe then, but this is wrong.
It is a very interesting tier set that druids have, this tier, that's for certain. Medros, do you have... I'm guessing here a Warhammer or something of the sort, something paladin-y?
Definitely something for a paladin. I would be upset if it was for a clothy. Definitely not a warlock piece, for sure. Unless it was, you know, something to give you negative stats or something. But I really haven't given it any thought. At least primarily because I don't think it'll happen, and I don't want to, you know, imagine what it would be and get my hopes up. So I would just say something paladin-y. That's about it.
We will put that question up on Twitter at some point. You are, of course, always welcome to email your answers to the question of the week, show at allthingsazeroth.com, and we will talk about that more next week on the show. So we're right about at the end here, and normally this is the time that we talk about contests, and well, we did have a contest just end, right, Medros?
That's true. We did close out the intro contest. We only had three people who entered. The winner of the contest was the one you heard at the beginning of the show. However, the man behind it, who is, of course, Ro here, has declined the nomination as first place. So that will go to MacGyver, who will be getting the Pearl of Pandaria novel. And the runner-up prize will go to the only other person who had actually sent in, a intro, which is a person who is, goes by the name of Ashog, who's a level 27 orc warrior on the Emerald Dream server. Not really what we're looking for, but I commend him for actually doing it, you know, giving it a try and seeing what it's like. And if you if you're out there and you want to do an intro, don't wait for a contest. Feel free to do it anytime.
Absolutely. And I didn't mention this at the top of the show, and I do want to mention it now. When I put that intro together, some of you may have seen at some point on Twitter that I would mention something about hashtag Project 12, and people are wondering, what the heck was that? Was that a new podcast or something? No, Project 12 was this intro that you heard at the top of the show today. And I wanted an intro that really basically answered the question, what is All Things Azeroth? And I think this intro sums it up pretty well. And I wanted to thank everyone who contributed to that, including Nanania, MacGyver, Jen from Shattered Soulstone, Rem from Torn Think Tank, Shade, Revan Dawn from Arcanum of Azeroth, LeGrayson from Chaos Portal, Skolnick from Warcraft Less Traveled, Jan from our Taming Azeroth segments and Something Suggestive, Joe from Chaos Portal, Wow Martin as you may know him, and Medros and I. So thanks to everyone who contributed for that intro. I think it's a very awesome intro, and I'm very happy with how it came out. As always, we do have the survey contest, which is still ongoing. You can go to bit.ly/ATAasks and enter in that survey contest. Just fill out that little survey we have there, and I believe that's for game time, if I'm not mistaken, Medros?
Yeah, a 60-day game card.
Awesome. And just one little thing, this isn't a contest we're doing, but it's something that's special and rare enough that I wanted to toss it out there for you guys so you're aware of it. WarcraftPets.com, great site for people interested in pet battle information, finding, gathering pets, and all that. Right now, they are doing a contest where they are giving away, as a grand prize, a mini Tyrael. Now, these are something that you could only find at the International Blizzard, I'm completely forgetting the exact name of the event, but was the event that they had overseas several years ago. And these things right now go up on eBay or whatever for like $800. So go to warcraftpets.com, check that out. They're an awesome site and they deserve the love. Syl, I just want to thank you for being on the show this week. Medros and I really appreciate you coming by and filling in for part of it and being here for the rest of it. What's going on with Girls Gone Wild and ObscureCast in the next couple weeks?
I need to kick I'm going to call him Razor Butt from now on, because we need to start recording again. So I don't know what's going on. Hopefully we'll be recording again this week, but it's a bit difficult because, you know, we need to celebrate Valentine's Day. But I hopefully by Wednesday we'll have something out. And Girls Gone Wild is going to have a little break this Sunday from recording, but you were so kind to let us use the entire interview from Rail Maintenance for our show. Mm-hmm. And then the week afterwards we'll be back and we'll have Lizanna from Restokin on, so that's quite exciting to us.
She's a great person. I've heard her on a couple of shows, and she does a lot of good things out there when it comes to just the healing druid community, and she does some special stuff outside the game too that should get some recognition. So yeah, she's a great person. Medros, I'm all talked out. Do you want to handle the rest of the show?
Sure. I do want to make a note of a couple of things that I really hadn't made mention of previously. As the contest that we did run did not give away all the prizes that were for it, and I am considering trying to find or get a new layout and logo for ATA, expect a new contest coming up soon for that. Because I do really, really want to see a new layout, and at least one person on the show here has expressed a strong interest in this as well. So hopefully we'll have something new up on that soon. But let me read our normal outro here while I'm talking here. One note before we do finish wrapping everything up. Our guest next week will be Kristen Marshall of the new writers for WoW Insider. So I hope you guys will tune in for that, because I'm sure it'll be a very interesting show. If you want to send us a voicemail, you can voicemail us at 1-785-ATA-WOW5. That's 1-785-282-9695. You can email us at show@allthingsazeroth.com. You can email me at medros@allthingsazeroth.com or ro@allthingsazeroth.com. If you want to email Syl, you can email her at syl@girlsgonewow.net. For her website, it's girlsgonewow.net, of course, and the Twitter is ggwshow, or her own personal Twitter is Luminius, Luminius. For my Twitter, it's Medros. For the show's Twitter, it's All Things As, and for Rose, it's RoWow. And of course, for the network, it's Dawnforge. And you can check out all the other shows on the Dawnforge network. We have Group Quest, All Things Edible, Halfway Around the World, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, Chaos Portal, Steamforged, and the newly returned Obscure Cast. Thank you for returning, by the way. Many people asked where you guys were. And of course, Syl, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate your coming by. And I do appreciate you even came by when it wasn't me around.
That's true. I was slightly disappointed, but I'm really happy that you're here anyway, so I can talk to you.
Well, you know, I don't talk to you as owner of the network and one of the hosts, so it's good that we can talk sometimes otherwise. But, yeah, we're really glad we can have you here, and, you know, do hope you continue to do an awesome job on ObscureCast as well as on Girls Gone WoW.
I will kick Razorbug's butt a bit more into
shape. Razorbutt. He's going to hate that. I can see it now. Oh, he's never going to hate that one.
That's the thing. For Razorbug, we need to heckle him. That's his thing. That will make him happy.
Yes, yes. Clearly, heckling by Syl and Damurai isn't enough. He needs more. So do let him know on Twitter. RZBG is his Twitter handle. If you just make sure you know, let him know that his new name is Razorbutt. And he blame himself for that on the next episode. So. But we'll be back next week again with Kristen of the WoW Insider blog, I should say, and we look forward to that. And we have lots of great guests coming up, so definitely stay tuned. That's about it for me, and for Ro, and also for Syl. So take care, happy hunting, and see you on the other side of, I don't know, patch 5.2 excitement, I guess.
On the other side of the love rocket.
No. Oh my. No. No. No love rockets on this podcast. This is a love rocket free podcast.
Agreed. Have a good week, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
This has been a production of Dawnforge. Copyright 2013. Find great podcasts and more at thedawnforge.com.